Googled you. Yeah. I don't know if you guys can hear, but she's letting us know that our storage is almost full.
So hopefully it's got enough storage for tonight's call.
It does, I bet.
Anyway. All right. Hey, listen. Welcome to the call. And whether you're listening live or whether you're listening to a recording, we just pray that you're blessed and that you're encouraged. And we just want to say a very sincere, sincere thank you for allowing us to be a part of your journey. It truly is our honor, and I mean that. It is. We've been praying for y'all. Like, I know a lot of people say stuff like that, but I'm telling you, we've been praying for y'all. And we're praying for your relationships, and we're praying and asking that that you would go from good to great. And if you happen to not be in a relationship, then we're praying that that God gives you clarity on who that person is, and just brings that person into your presence at the right time. And so we trust him. So, you know, tonight we felt compelled to share some things without any further ado, I suppose, to share some things that we've been reminded of in our coaching process, which all too often happens. And those of you who are our private clients, you know, it's like, wow, so, okay, we're the guinea pigs for your call. Not necessarily, but sometimes it works out that way. And so thank you for prompting us and, again, keeping us relevant to the real world as well. But we wanted to share some thoughts that have been coming about. And to start things off, I just want to say, you know, the truth is that we all start out excited about our future. I mean, I think most of us do anyway. We start out pretty excited to do life together. In fact, you know, at first it kind of feels like we're playing house. You know, like we get to do some of the things that we've been dreaming. You know, I can remember just dishes, you know, and just fun things like shopping for dishes or silverware together. That was such a thrill and so fun and a new experience for us to do. And in that season, the world and our relationship is so full of possibilities. We think about those possibilities. We find what we love about one another. We look to serve one another. Instead of wondering, you know, when we're going to be served, our focus really is like on winning that other person's heart. We celebrate our differences. We relish the times to do different things. You know, if there was something that Julie liked to do that was not necessarily part of my normal routine, why, you can bet I was happy to oblige.
And vice versa.
I wasn't going to leave you.
No, I learned how to shoot guns and go camping. Ugh.
We look forward to family gatherings and put our best foot forward because we want to impress. We intentionally spend time looking for ways to spend time together. And without a whole lot of effort, we look for ways to discover one another because there's a lot to discover in that early season. But over time, what we've recognized is that we can get comfortable and we can get familiar with one another. Now, look, if you've been with us very long, then you know that this is not a good concept. But the thing about it is it's a concept and it's a thought that is worth repeating again because we're all subject to it and it's very real world. You know, that familiarity often breeds complacency as we get a little bit too comfortable, which leads to indifference many times anyway, or frustration, or often a superior or a critical spirit. Just let that set on you for just a second and think about if that's an opportunity for you. Now, I don't want to leave you in the mud, okay? So I don't want you to start kicking yourself, but awareness is a very, very powerful tool. You know, when we're able to recognize and have the awareness and go, you know, that situation there later, earlier this morning or yesterday.
Right.
I felt, you know, maybe like I was looking back on it a little bit critical or kind of poking holes in the way that you do things. And the end result is we begin to nitpick at one another and we find fault. That's the bottom line. But here's the good news. You were designed for more. Each one of you on this call here designed by choice, and you're here because you've chosen to grow and you want more, and you're committed to more. So think about this. What if you and your spouse really could change the world? I know it sounds so big, but just if you would, just hang with us. Seriously, what if? I love that what if phrase. Just what if you and your spouse really could change the world? What if you really could live in such a way as to impact a legacy with your family? What if your unique differences really are a part? What if they really, really are a part of a master design that could inspire your community, your friends, and your church?
Well, and here's the good news. And the reason why we're talking about this tonight is because we felt compelled to remind you of that you were created on purpose, for a purpose, that you were destined to live into that greatness. Not to just survive your marriage. I think the whole part that Greg was sharing is that sometimes we find ourselves in a survival mode, but God desires something so much more for you, right? He wants you to live into that greatness. Now, if you're anything like us, as we considered the invitation of thinking, wow, we're destined for greatness. All right, we're in. That sounds pretty cool. But how do you actually do that when you find yourself in the mode of barely surviving? I mean, how do you live out greatness? How do we get back to fun? How do we live in such a way that we are living intentionally to leave a legacy? So the truth is, if you want more fun, if you want to inspire change, impact life, leave a legacy, there's some things you got to start doing, and there's some things that you got to stop doing. So tonight, we thought what we'd do is unpack 3 simple thoughts for you.
Yep, nice and simple.
Yep.
Keep it simple, stupid.
So as we do that, again, we've opened up the queue already for you where you could ask questions, share your comments. We always love when you share your best practices. Some of the best part of our time together is the community and the thoughts that you guys bring forward. So don't hesitate to press *6, follow the prompts as we're sharing these 3 quick thoughts with you. So first and foremost, if you want greatness, right? If we want to welcome God's best for our marriage, we got to remember what Ralph Waldo Emerson said. And here's what he said. Every man, every woman, right, deserves to be remembered by their best moments.
Ooh.
So it's the idea that if we want to live for greatness, if we want to welcome God's best for our marriage, if we want to leave that lasting legacy and make an impact, we have to base our relationship on the same criteria that God bases his relationship with us: love, acceptance, and forgiveness. So the challenge then, the practical application of it, because we can say, okay, great, yeah, we're going to remember what Ralph Waldo Emerson said. Every man deserves to be remembered by his best moments, but then life happens. So here's the challenge. Here's the mental inventory, if you will. Take a mental inventory of your thoughts. Challenge your thoughts throughout this week of where it is that your thoughts are naturally progressing. What are you thinking about? You know, you've heard us share frequently, multiple times, to see the best, to believe the best about your mate. And then be aware to extend grace. I find it interesting that so often, we share this quite a bit in our coaching practice, that we tend to judge our spouse or others off of their actions, but our own life off of our intentions. And so this week, as you're watching your life, as you're trying to take that mental inventory, challenge your thoughts to catch your spouse doing things that are right. Catch your coworkers doing something that's right. Catch your children doing things that right. If we want to leave a lasting legacy, we got to see the best, believe the best, and speak the best. And a big part of that is that 4 inches between each of our temporal lobes of being able to take captive our thoughts. Find the things that you love about those that have been put in your pathway. Begin to celebrate what you admire about them. Give them the benefit of the doubt and believe that they're good. When's the last time that you looked at your spouse and you just thought, you know what? They're pretty awesome. I really do believe they're made in God's image. I believe that they are here to bring out the best in me. I think that their intents are noble. I think that they have a good heart, that they're for me. They're not against me. Those are the kind of thoughts this week that we want to challenge you to begin to take hold of and give consideration to.
I want to come back to a couple of things that you said there, babe, if I can, before
sure.
you press on.
Yep.
Again, I love that quote from Emerson that says, man deserves, man, women, man is said as mankind
sure,
in this
right.
in this text, okay, in the way we're referencing it, but deserves to be remembered by their best moments. You know, I mean, let's be honest. That takes a new habit of thought, I think, for most of us.
Mm-hmm, right.
Because I believe that if we're honest, it's so much easier and so much more of a knee-jerk, whether it's our spouse or otherwise. You know, really, you know, somebody may be really great, you know, a good majority of the time. But what ends up being the theme of our conversation should they come up a lot of times
right.
if they've fallen short in one area or if they've, you know, stubbed their toe or hit a speed bump, I like to say. And we've all been guilty of, you know, hit speed bumps in our life, right?
Yep.
None of us are perfect. We've not yet ascended, so we're still trying to figure this all out and getting better all the time. And I just think that, you know, from the moment that we came across this particular quote, this particular, you know, idea, it really sank mm-hmm. into us. And so, again, some of y'all are married. Most of y'all are married. Some of you are not married yet. Most of y'all are in a relationship, but some of y'all are not. But these are things that really... you know, as we've coached our kids in relationships over the years, we've always tried to remind them, and I think we all need reminded of this sometimes, even after we're married for that matter, that it's not so much in finding the right spouse as becoming the right person to attract that person. Mm. And that does not stop once we've caught them. You know what I mean? Once you catch him or once you catch her, you know, really, that's when, the process of becoming, really, we get a whole lot more opportunity to do that. And so I just wanted to double back on that because I love that so much because, again, I know what my habit is, if I'm honest.
Mm-hmm.
Again, whether it's you or the kids or whatever, it's so easy to focus on the opportunities that people have or where they fall short. So remember, every person deserves to be remembered by their best moments. I hope, and I pray seriously that people look at through such a lens of grace at me that they remember me for my best mm-hmm. moments, you know, rather than my worst. And there's plenty of them. And then the only other thing really that I wanted to double back on was just this idea of, listen, you guys have heard us and other people talk about catching people doing things right. But can I ask you to really lean into that this week? Can I ask you to make it a point, like make it your goal this week to catch your spouse and your kids and, mm-hmm. you know, other people around you, like make it your mission this just for 1 week, just for a test. Because what I want to see is I want you to see what happens in your life when you're able to do that. You know, when your focus is on that, how you begin to interpret and what it is that you, you know, tend to see when you're looking for it. Because my bet is that you're going to find that you find what you're looking for.
Mm.
And if you're looking for the right things, then it really does make a big difference in how our week shows up and how we show up in our week. And then, of course, you know, how other people begin to treat us as well, because we have a tendency to reflect, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and I'm just going to take it to a spiritual note, so pardon me if you don't share the same in my faith, but I do think it warrants sharing. It's come to my mind a couple times, and that is that, you know, there are times and seasons when we go through struggle, and I find myself trying to do things in my own power, but it's when I stop and I remember who my Heavenly Father is, that worry begins to fade away.
Yeah, that's a fact.
It's when I remember his character, and then I choose to focus on his power, on his presence, in the fact that I can trust him, that the worry or the fear begins to lift. And so all of that is a matter of where I'm focusing my attention or my thoughts. It's where I'm putting my energy or my concentration to. And if it's my circumstances, then my circumstances become the point of focus. When I'm thinking about God and his unlimited power and ability and his great love for me, his great care for me, those worries and fears cease to be able to remain. It's faith casts out fear kind of thought. And so the same concept in our relationship, and that's what we're saying, that it's where you're going to put your attention. If you're focused on all the negative parts from that, you're going to reap the negative. You're going to find more of the negative. When you focus in on the truth of who your spouse was created to be and the good things about them, then you're going to reap that. All right, one more quick thing.
You know, right. I'm just thinking, you know, there's a couple different ways that you can receive what it is that we're saying. Maybe you're in a really good relationship. Maybe you've been at it for a day or two, or you know, a little longer. You know, I just want to encourage you that this is for you, just as much as it is the one who is just getting into a relationship or still is dating or still kind of figuring things out, because these are the principles that are the basic plays, you know what I mean, in life, if you will, that we have to get them right, you know, but they slip because we get out of the good habits. So I just wanted to make sure that, you know, we all understand that there's a difference between good and great. You know what I mean? And we won't have to get from good to great.
And so we're not talking about surviving marriage. We're talking about thriving. We're talking about living into the design. It's leaving that legacy, having fun, laughing together, living life to its fullest together, destined to make a difference, right, in our kids' life, in our church life. So that's what we want. If we want to inspire that change, if we want to impact those lives, if we want to leave a lasting legacy, here's number two that we need to do, and that is to make life about others. You know, our mentor, John Maxwell, often shares that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And the truth is, our natural predisposition is for self-preservation. Oftentimes, at best, we tend to hold an inclination to want to shift the blame. It's all the, well, I wouldn't have done that if they hadn't, or I wouldn't act that way if they would just, or I know I shouldn't react that way, but they're the ones who provoked me.
It's somebody else's fault the way that I am.
But instead, so it's making life about others, not in a negative way, but in a very positive way of making to live, to serve.
You know what, babe? I'm going to tell you something that I've learned sincerely about this that you're unpacking here, and that is, I'm not kidding you, life is more fun. It really is a lot more fun, and I have a lot more satisfaction, and I just have better days. Because, you know, if I get the spotlight turned on me, and I'm focused on me, and I'm focused on my wants, my needs, and so on and so forth, I'm going to tell you, inevitably, either I become very selfish in the process, or I start looking and picking apart where I'm not having my supposed needs, wants, or desires met. You tracking with me?
Yep.
Have you experienced that as well?
Oh, I mean, my
seriously.
Goodness, yeah. Anytime it's self-focused, then it becomes, somehow I find more that I'm getting the short end of the stick. People aren't measured up because expectations are everything.
Yep. Cool. Yep. Well, I just want to make sure I wasn't a lone ranger on that.
So how do we go forward then? How do we resist that predisposition to shift the blame? It really is quite simple. It's what you were saying. It's like resisting that note to be not to be selfish, right? To embrace service. We talked about in the book and in some of the videos that we've done that the way that we resist selfishness, that selfishness is where we're saying, serve me, right? Where selflessness is saying, I'm going to serve you. That selfish mentality, whether you know, if you're trying to see where do you fall, a lot of times when I find myself being selfish, I'm thinking, I deserve this. Or if you would only then.
Is that what that is? I wonder what that is.
Yeah, that never happens ever.
Just tease.
But when I'm focused on others, it's, man, you deserve to be loved. Mm. You deserve to be respected.
Yeah.
When we're looking towards ourselves, it's my needs are important versus when we're really making life about others and we're living to make an impact and leave that legacy, what we're really saying is what Christ said, and that is that your needs are more important than my own. Now, it wasn't that Christ was a doormat. He didn't lose his identity.
No, and I think that's a great point.
Yeah, he knew who he was, but he lived to serve. He washed the disciples' feet because he wasn't beneath washing. And he gave the model to be able to serve instead of expecting to be served, and then went so far as to give his life for us. What certainly wasn't something he wanted. Anyway, you have anything to add with selfishness and selflessness and making life about others?
No, I think that you covered it pretty well. And again, it's, we understand that what we're not teaching you, and we never try to teach you rocket science, to be honest, that we don't try to remind you of rocket science concepts, because it's not rocket science concepts that helped us when we were, when we almost didn't make it, you know, when we really, really struggled. It wasn't rocket science that caused us to be able to rebound and be able to learn how to love one another. And today, it is still, we have an awesome relationship, and it still takes work.
Sure.
But it's still today, you know, over two decades later, yep, is not rocket science for us. And so,
so the challenge then is just to simply begin to take inventory once again of the thought life and where your natural inclination and attention is going. How can you spice it up? How can you make it fun and serve? How can you put the other person's needs above your own in such a way, man, when you start looking for ways to serve instead of expecting to be served, it's going to make your household fun. We have a lot of gentlemen's battles, as we say, trying to outdo one another. Today we fought about what I was going to order for lunch because I was trying to make sure that Greg got what he wanted to eat. So don't frustrate your
partner. Well, we didn't fight about it. I mean, that's a little bit strong. You might have fought about it. I didn't fight about it.
But it's how can you prefer one another's needs over your own? All right, third, moving right along. Choose to unify. Man, sometimes we get in such a mode of just following and finding how we're different that we forget to choose what we share in common. So think of it this way. This thought came to me earlier this week, and that is that division is a result from divided devotion. So let me just unpack it. I know it's a little wordy. This is how my brain works, though. Division results from divided devotion. So division is that whole disagreement, the disunity. If we're not careful, we become divided, detached from one another, indifferent to one another. So that division is a result from our divided devotion. And the way that it processed through this little being of mine is that we have these opposing views, these hostile desires, something that I want or that Greg wants or something that our children want that seems to be in a competing opinion, right? And then we get into this thing that, well, who's right, who's wrong?
Mm.
And that leaves us asserting that, well, my way is superior to your way because there seems to be opposite. And it's usually because of where our devotion is, where our affection is, where our attention is being placed. Devotion is that place where, man, we can just give that steadfast commitment. We're devoted to someone or something. We offer our time. We offer our energy without counting the cost. There's just a natural devotion to something. And so what happens a lot of times is maybe I value quality time where I like something scheduled or routine, and Greg wants freedom and not having a schedule. And so we could look at those things as conflicting, and if we're not careful, we can start having division about that. We've talked about parenting where encouragement and excellence and those two things seem to collide. So when we first get together, our devotion is towards one another. Our devotion is, I want to figure you out. You're amazing. You're awesome. And we tend to look at those differing opinions as interesting or exciting. Over time, instead of celebrating, we begin to kind of look at those differences as negatives.
And well, we sometimes
can. Right, we can, yeah.
Yeah.
Just fall into that pattern of wanting to change our mate. We're bothered by their opinions, or maybe we're frustrated by that lack of oneness. So if we don't want to stay there, here's the fun part. Remember what you share in common. Remember what you both want. Ask yourself these questions. And sometimes we get people say, we don't share anything in common. And we'll start saying, well, you both want peace, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You both want to be successful, right? Yep. Mm-hmm. You both want to feel loved and respected. You both want peace in your home. And so we start doing these things, and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, look how much you have in common. Mm-hmm. And so at that most elemental level, what we want to encourage you to do, again, is what and who are you both committed to? What do you guys both care about? What are you both loyal to? What do you both desire? Where do your devotions intersect that you share in common? And begin to build a list of the things that you agree on, because as you build on the list of the things you agree on, you're going to build that future that is unified, and that unified future is going to be able to accomplish greatness. That's all I got.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Listen, it's wide open. Q&A is, if you got a question, *6. If you got a comment, if you had a situation in the last couple of weeks, try to make this one a little bit shorter just in case. And, you know, a lot of times folks have things that pop up during the week, and they want to be able to bounce it off of us or get the community's thoughts on it. And so we'll wait just a couple of minutes here. Julie, while we're waiting to see if anybody does have a question or comment, I want to come back and I just want to ask you, again, what you said is that division results from divided devotion. Mm. So, you know, again, you know how I'm wired. The last thing I want to do is say, okay, number 3, choose to unify. You know what I'm saying? And not that you didn't unpack this, and not that you didn't, you know, dive into this. You certainly did. But I want a little bit more. I want you to unpack it a little bit more. What does it look like for the couple who is finding themselves in a situation from time to time or regularly that they are just not unified in a particular area? Maybe it's their parenting, mm-hmm. and they're not unified. That's the one that comes up for us sometimes. I think we've learned how to unify. Okay, so that may be a great example. But it could be, you know, in finances. Mm-hmm. Too, they're finding that they are not in unity. Mm. How would you suggest that we handle that? You know, it's easy for us to say choose to unify. Okay, well, I choose to unify. Well, now what?
Well, in a very practical way, I can tell you some of the things that I've had to do over the years, and that is that I think coming into any conversation, anytime that we're in a place of disagreement, there has to be a willingness, and it has to begin with somebody. And since I'm the only one who I can control, I'm going to start with me. But it works best if both parties obviously are doing this.
But it does, but it doesn't always work that way, in truth.
It's truly being able to say, you know what, I might be wrong about this. Yep. There might be something I don't know. I don't want to be so arrogant in my life as to think I've figured everything out.
Yep.
I want to live in such a way that I want to listen to you.
Yep.
And so, but that's not always the case. Like on a good day, that's where I live.
Yeah, but
it tends to be where I really do reside now for the most part. But there is an intentionality at times where I will look and I'll just say, okay, Julie, shut up. Just don't have any thoughts right now. Just listen. Mm-hmm. Don't have an opinion. Listen. Mm-hmm. Ask questions. Well, what makes you say that? Why is that important?
Right. That's that's where the rubber meets the road right there. You know, and often you guys have heard us talk a little bit about this in the past for sure, and that is seek first to understand and then be understood. I think Stephen Covey was the one who coined that, but seek first to understand and then be understood. And it's so awesome when I've got my wits about me enough, when you say something that might fly all over me or tick me off or that I might take issue with or, you know, that I'm certainly not in agreement with, then, again, I can very easily respond to that. But what you just said is it's a matter of truly respecting that person and caring for them enough not to treat them like, you know, again, like we've talked about before, sometimes you just say things to your spouse or to your own kids that you would never say to another human being, except for that, you know. So, good. I'm glad we circled back to that. Listen, we don't have anybody in the queue, and Julie, I don't know if you've got anything else that you want to unpack. If not, we'll wrap this thing up. And if we do have someone that has a question or a comment, please star 6, jump in there real quick. We're happy to stay on here just as long as you'd like us to. We're here for you. If not, we certainly don't want to hold you hostage.
And I know we have a lot of groups that are meeting tonight, and they're going to probably have their own conversation. So here's just some food for thought. What is the greatness that God's calling you to? Have you stopped believing that? Have you settled for just living out maybe a little bit of a mundane? Have you settled into a status quo? We want to remind you that you really do have the opportunity to impact every single day. And the more that you can live into that destiny, the more that you can live into unity, the more that you can choose to focus on others' needs over your own. It sounds counterintuitive, but as I loved how you brought that out, babe, that, you know, those are the times when life is the most fun. It really is. It's that place where there's joy in serving others. And so this week, catch your spouse doing something right. Believe the best, see the best, speak the best. And
choose unity, baby.
Choose unity. That's it. All right, guys. Well, we had a full lineup, so hopefully there wasn't anything wrong with the queue or anything like that. If you do have any questions, by all means, shoot them over our way, and we'll cover them on the next call. If not, then
yeah, we got some really, really great ideas for the next call coming up. So,
all right,
be sure and don't miss it. When is that one, baby doll?
It'll be two Sundays from now, I believe. So it'll be up on the queue. All right, guys, have a great night. Thanks for joining.